Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, and live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. There are a lot of singers, songwriters, and musicians out there who write amazing songs and songs that filter into the popular consciousness, but it is extremely rare to have a song that becomes a holiday novelty number in basically our lifetimes. I mean, there were a bunch, I guess, that came through in the late 1800s and 1900s, became Christmas carols and songs of the season. But certainly as long as I've been around, there have been only two that have joined the canon, and what's odd about them is that they're both novelty songs. There's Adam Sandler's Hanukkah number, which really has taken its place. I mean, you will hear that in shopping centers and Rite Aids and Duane Reade's, along with everything else, because, let's face it, how many Hanukkah songs are there? And it filled a need in a wonderful way. But then there was one Christmas song that came along recently, and God knows there's tons of Christmas music all year, you know, being released constantly, and if radio stations can play Christmas music nonstop for 3 weeks, there's got to be a lot of it out there, and not just old songs being redone by different people. But if there's one song that crept into the consciousness and stayed there, it is, of all things, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Now, believe it or not, on the phone with me right now is the man who wrote and sang that song, and it's a celebrating its 25th anniversary. So please welcome to the neighborhood, Dr. Elmo. Hey, Dr. Elmo.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
Great. It's my season now.
That's right. We're taping this just before the New Year, so this must be the busiest time for you. This is when the phone rings off the hook, and everybody wants you to tell the same story over and over again, but you got to tell it here. So tell it. How did it happen?
Well, a friend of mine had the idea for it, a man named Randy Brooks. I was doing some funny songs at the time, and I played the show, and he came up after the show, and he said, I have this idea for a song that I think would be perfect for you. And he sat down and started singing parts of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and I thought, that is a wonderful concept. And I recorded it soon after that. And I didn't expect anyone to play it on the radio, but I just recorded it to give to some friends of mine for a Christmas gift, kind of a gag gift. A few of my friends took it to a radio station, and they started playing it on the radio, and a lot of people called in, said they wanted to hear it again. They couldn't believe what it was saying. A lot of others said they never wanted to hear it again.
And, well, then let's roll the story back a little bit. And first of all, you had been doing some music before then. So, but I mean, you weren't a musician. You're a veterinarian.
I was a veterinarian, and when I was about 35, I got interested in a bluegrass band that used to play around San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to go and watch them everywhere they went. And I said, if you love the music so much, you should try and play. And I said, I think I'm way too old.
But and, yeah.
They encouraged me, and I got a banjo and started playing in a bluegrass band. Maybe 6 months after I started playing the banjo, I was playing in a band. I was not that good by any means, but, you know, good enough to scrape by, and I was practicing constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And no one in the band wanted to sing. Most bluegrass players are more into the playing than the singing.
Right. Picking and grinning are the two prerequisites of bluegrass bands.
So I started singing. Whenever I'd sing a serious song, you know, something like Mother, they just laid Mother in her grave, people wouldn't take it that seriously. They'd be snickering a little bit. And I finally realized that I probably should go with the flow and just sing funny songs instead of doing the serious stuff.
And these were, but you sang funny songs by other people for a period. And then you started writing your own?
Yes.
Cool. Do you remember, like, the first novelty tune that you came up with?
I think the first one I came up with was called You Done Sprayed the Love Bug with DDT.
Man. Okay. Do you remember any of the... Oh, you must remember. Everybody remembers the first. So can you sing a little, or can you give us a little
I have some other songs that we've come up with. Grandma's Killer Fruitcake.
Okay.
Once the Grandma song came out, I started writing a lot of funny Christmas songs.
Right.
But I had one called the Betty Ford Clinic that had a line that went, I got to get in to the Betty Ford Clinic. I got to find a way, I swear. Though I never have been strung out, I would love to say I hung out with the stars who check in there.
Cute. That's the thing that people don't get about necessarily the song Grandma's Got Run Over and some of the other songs that you've written is the fact that they're pretty dark. I mean, back in 25 years ago when you wrote the song, again, people may not realize there was must have been some level of controversy about it because it wasn't a standard, you know, Santa's coming, put up your stockings tune. I mean, did you get
that? Not at all.
Yeah.
When it first came out, it was played on the radio a few times and there was some protest and then they banned it from the radio.
But
and then the next year they started playing it again and I got a job playing at a club in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
When I got down there, I could see there was a four or five blocks away, there was a big line of people standing out there. And first I thought they were in line, but when I got up there, they all had picket signs. They were strolling around saying, stay away from this concert. It's ageist, sexist, and violent against women.
Oh, God. And somehow the song outlasted that. I mean, did you ever bother to go over and talk to those people, or you just looked at them and said, you know, they'll never get it?
Well, you know, they called me up.
Mm-hmm.
Before then and left a message. I didn't get the message, but they called me up and said, we don't want you singing this song. It's really demeaning to older people. And then when I got back that night, I got that message. But I talked to them a little bit, but they didn't have much of a sense of humor. They were called the Grey Panthers.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes.
I guess when you're first starting up an organization like that, you can't have a sense of humor because you've got to take everything seriously or else nobody will take you seriously.
That's right. And it was good publicity for me. At the time, I was scared to death. I thought, I don't know what's going to happen.
But you never got any problems with, like, the Christian or religious community. They never had, you know, they never gave you any flack. I would figure these would be the most likely to be problematic because it's, ooh, Christmas.
They have not. In fact, you know, a few years after the song was, you know, after I was picketed and the song was banned from a number of radio stations,
mm-hmm.
it became one of the top, one of the four songs played at the first, you know, in Desert Storm. It was because it wasn't religious. That was one of the things that appealed to them. They didn't want to be playing a lot of religious songs over there.
Right.
So they played Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer and Elvis's Blue Christmas.
Well, I guess they figure that, you know, Iraqi grandmother's getting run over by tanks. This was kind of a good song to play while that was happening.
That's right.
But the other interesting thing is when you had the success with that song, even when you see the video, I believe the difference there is Grandma lives. Doesn't she wake up or something like
comes
that?
Comes back, yeah.
She comes back. So did you feel, even after the song started having some success, the pressure to be a little more commercial in your songwriting or not to go as dark as you might have before because you don't want to lose, you know, I don't know if MTV would have played the video if Grandma, you know, you're standing over Grandma's grave.
We didn't think they would. Although there are some people who love the song and think that we chickened out when we had Grandma come back. There's also an animated movie
mm-hmm.
about her, and she comes back in the movie.
Right. So, I mean, there was a conscious effort, I'll bet, to make sure that, well, you know, kids will be watching this, and maybe, you know, we don't want them to have to ask Mommy and Daddy, and this be the first time, like, a six-year-old says, what is death?
Right.
You know, there's probably a better way for them to learn it than seeing Grandma getting trampled to death by a reindeer.
Especially with a song that's so prevalent and popular.
Exactly. But is there another side of the coin on this song? Obviously, the song made your name. Obviously, it gave you a career and probably a very, very busy December for the past 25 years. But do you then, when you write other songs or do other albums, and your publicity people were kind enough to send me two of the more recent ones, Christmas All Around the USA and the Martha Stewart song, but you sometimes get the worry that so many artists have that no matter what you do, no matter what great songs you write, no matter what better songs you write, you're always going to be the Grandma's Got Run Over by a Reindeer guy.
Well, that's true. Very well put, Dave. I am the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer guy. And we believe that we have at least another six or seven songs that are equally as good as Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened at a time when enough... I didn't have a record company and didn't have any kind of promotional support when the song came out. And the only support I had was through listeners. So many listeners called up the radio station that was the way that Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer became popular.
So it was a real groundswell kind of roots song.
It was.
People voting for it on Dr. Demento and that kind of thing.
Yes.
But again, does it bother you, though, that that will always be the song, you know, unless a miracle of some sort happens?
It does bother me a little bit because we have written and found so many great songs since then. Hi, this is Dr. Elmo of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Thanks for listening to Dave Lefkowitz on WGBB 1240 AM. For the last 10 years, it's been pretty much my project, year-long project, to either write and come up with other Christmas songs, and we have come up with some great ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if we had come up with one of those songs when Grandma came out, that one of those songs could have been just as popular. But with the consolidation of the radio ownership nowadays, it's not easy for a lot of people to call in and tell radio stations what they want to hear.
Yeah,
pretty much it goes the other way. Programmers for large radio chains, they usually dictate what they want the public to hear.
Yeah. Well, also, you could call up a lot of times your local radio station. The actual ownership is somewhere halfway through Atlanta,
right.
500 miles away. You know. Actually, not this radio. This radio station is owned and operated out of Flushing and works like a Babylon, so it's fairly local. But then again, you know, we run this radio station on $5.98 a week. Anywho,
that's the kind of radio that's the great radio. That's where everything starts.
True. But speaking of starting, let's just go back away from the music for a moment and the fact that I kind of dropped this in before, but it is rather interesting that you're a vet and a horse trainer. Well, how did you get all into that?
I was raised on a farm, and then my dad was a jockey. He was a very famous jockey. For three years, he was the number one jockey in America.
Last name Shropshire? What was
his name was Elmo Shropshire.
Oh, so you're like an Elmo Jr.
Yeah. Well, okay. I have a different middle name. That was the only difference.
Wow, okay.
But then he got too big to be a jockey, and it was a tough time for him. He was a national superstar. And he was a spokesman for Pierce Arrow Automobiles. And then all of a sudden, when he got too big, he grew to be 5'11 between the time he was 18 and 19. And he tried to diet. He did everything he could to keep riding, but couldn't. And so then suddenly he had to go back from being a superstar to just being on the farm. And so they never wanted that to happen to me, although I had the same thing. I was very little until I was about 18 and had been riding and expected to become a jockey.
Really?
But when I was 18, I grew about 6 inches taller and couldn't make the weight anymore. You have to be about 105 pounds.
Well, it's funny. I'm just reading, for the first time, Seabiscuit, which is it really is a marvelous book. Have you read it?
I have. It is a wonderful book.
And is it true? I mean, you're mentioning that your father tried to diet, but the things they talk about in there of what jockeys felt that they had to do in order to maintain a weight that was probably about 25 pounds less than what they really should weigh as a normal person.
That's right.
Did your dad ever go that far?
He ran in rubber suits.
He did that.
He got in steam boxes.
Wow.
He starved. And he was so weak he could hardly stay on the horse in the later times. And they started writing about him. They said, he's such a great rider, and he's awful now. You know, all those things happened. And people knew that he was getting too big.
And did he have any of the terrible kinds of spills that they mention in the book?
He didn't have any really wrecking spills, but anybody who rides racehorses a lot, you always get hurt. He was hurt a few times, and I was hurt a number of times. I used to get thrown from horses Weekly.
Oh, my God.
Yes. They bear up and fall over backwards on you and those kind of things.
Well, how do you then... You know, I once had a bicycle accident, and it wasn't even a terribly bad one, but that wrecked some bridge work in my mouth that was, you know, a long time fixing. And it took me about a year and a half before I had the confidence to get back up on the bike again. Now, I'm a wuss, I admit that. But how do you get thrown off a horse, have a horse fall on you, and then say, yeah, tomorrow I'll, or, you know, when I'm out of the hospital, I'm getting back up on that pony?
Well, that's the mindset of the racetrack. The racetrack is a totally different life form from anything that we know outside of the racetrack, and I was raised around there, and they would always say, as soon as you get thrown off, get right back on, and that was the mindset. And I remember a horse ran into a tree once with me, and I was knocked out, and they took me to the hospital, and took me a while to regain consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I was sore all over. But the very next morning, they said, you know, come on, we're going to, you know, there's nothing broken. You have to get, you know, get back on. And I went out the following morning and rode again.
Wow. But then you did have that growth spurt and you stopped doing it. But you stayed with animals. You stayed as a trainer and a veterinarian. Now, do you still practice as a veterinary doctor?
I stopped about 5 years ago because the Grandma Project became such a full-time job that I couldn't practice as a veterinarian anymore.
Cool. Well, I mean, obviously December is a very busy time, but the rest of the year, you're busy, doing concerts and preparing, writing new songs, doing CDs, or what? What's a...
Yes. This is how our year will go.
Mm-hmm.
We write a new album, new Christmas album, every year. So we'll start writing in January. And we're writing both a Christmas and a Halloween album.
Oh,
yeah. So we'll write and record that in January and February. We'll spend March trying to sell it to a major record company or major retail distributors.
Mm-hmm.
And then I play in a bluegrass band as well.
Right, oh,
so we do that some. And then we spend the rest of the year trying to place our products in stores and, I mean...
So is it more than music? Are there like T-shirts and the whole usual schmear of grandma stuff? Elmo
well, there
stuff?
Is a there's an singing reindeer that's really popular. They sold 1.5 million copies in the last 3 years. And they have all different kinds. They have one now. It's in a rocking chair and it rocks back and forth while it sings "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer."
But this, you're part of. You say they, but are you? You get something from them. I mean,
I do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I work with the company. I usually promote the toys when I'm doing my interviews during December.
Well, yeah. Well, that's fine. It's fine for you to promote that. And also, do you have a website where people can find out about your music and buy stuff and buy your CDs? And
yes, it's Dr. Elmo, Drelmo, .com, like Drelmo.com.
Drelmo.com.
And we have some of our non-Christmas music on there. I have a song called Dr. Kevorkian, another dark song.
Uh-huh.
Has a line that goes, well, come and see Dr. Kevorkian, because he's been trained to take away all of your pain. He got one part carbon, he got one part oxygen, and you're never, ever going to have to see another doctor again.
That is good. And it's true. It's funny because it's true. Is he still in prison?
I believe he is.
Awful. Oh, he's a hero, and they're keeping him in jail. What do you think of the commercial? I mean, you're actually part of it, so we have to keep that in mind. But the fact that Christmas has become, like, the most important commerce holiday in America. It isn't just a religious thing. It isn't just a spiritual or familial thing. It is now... buy, sell, and if merchants don't sell enough during the holidays, their year is all screwed up and the economy, suffers. Are you okay with Christmas being so enormous?
Well, I wasn't for a while, you know, until it started benefiting me. As a veterinarian, it never mattered whether it was Christmas or not. You know, when animals got sick, they had to be treated, even if it was in February.
Right.
So usually as a veterinarian, my income Christmas had no bearing on my income. But for people who are selling anything, it seems to me nowadays, Christmas, unless it's food, but even with food, Christmas is the big season. I used to always think, because I have Christmas albums, that Christmas was the only time I could sell my albums, which is true.
Oh.
But the funny thing is people who have blues albums, they sell 80% of their albums at Christmas, too.
Well, that could also be because that's when everybody has to give gifts to everybody.
That's right.
So, you know, an album that they wouldn't necessarily buy for a birthday or whatever, it's like, oh my gosh, I need something that costs less than $20 and I have to give it to a coworker. Hey, he likes blues. Here's a blues album. Yeah.
That's right.
Which made me think you're also doing Halloween albums. What are some of your Halloween tunes?
Well, I have a new one. We just wrote all those songs in November.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is about, it's called The Witch and the Toad.
Uh-huh.
And a man dresses like a toad and goes to a Halloween party, a costume party, and he meets a beautiful woman dressed as a witch. And he really wants to be with her.
Uh-huh.
So he asks her to go outside, and they go outside, and they become a little bit romantically inclined towards each other. And then they kiss.
And
he has this fantastic feeling that comes over him when they kiss. And then a little while later, she flies off with a broom.
Uh-oh.
And he's permanently a toad.
You are a sick man, Dr. Elmo. I like that. But here's I'm going to give you an idea for next year or the...
I need one.
For this year. Well, you know what? Nobody had. There's only one song that anybody really seems to know for Easter. You know, Easter Bonnet,
yeah.
Irving Berlin. Where are the Easter... People see each other on Easter. They go to church. They trade hats and stuff. Where are the Easter songs?
That's right. There aren't many Easter songs. Just the Easter Parade is the only one I know.
Yeah.
Actually, my friend and I wrote a 1-minute Easter song to go in an Easter Bunny toy.
Uh-huh.
And so we do have a little Easter song.
So maybe there's an EP in that or something, like a 4-song sampler. And knowing you, you probably do something really sick, punning on, like, Easter seals or something.
Well, that's a good idea. The one we did is fairly...
I get 10%.
Toothless. It's like a toothless bunny.
Right. Oh, gosh. So I ask this of all musicians that I have on the program. Where do you see yourself in another 10, 15, 20 years as far as your career and what you're doing in music and all that?
You know, nowadays, even though it's hard for me to believe, after 25 years, I'm now getting the message from many people that I'm to Christmas what Bing Crosby used to be.
And oh, that's
it's hard to believe because I grew up with Bing Crosby. But now, anyone, since Grandma's been out for 25 years, people say, that's the song I grew up with. That is my Christmas song. Most people who are 35 or 40 years old, for 25 years of their life, they've been listening to Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and that's been the big hit at Christmas for them. So one thing that I would like to do 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to be on an NBC tree lighting special where I have a nice sweater on like Perry Como, and am I out on in Rockefeller Center singing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer on NBC.
You know, what they really want to do is, you wouldn't be lighting the tree. They'd get, like, some more, like, Clay Aiken-type people. But they're
right.
Like this giant reindeer with a big light bulb nose, and you get to screw that in while you're singing, and then the red nose goes on just as soon as the final chorus.
Dave, that's a great idea. I think that pitch will put me over.
Well, good. And again, I get 10%.
All right.
10% of Dr. Elmo is quite a lot, and I want to thank you for giving a certain percentage of your time today to us to be in the neighborhood. Just want to remind everybody to check out drelmo.com. There's no period in there. It's drelmo.com, where you can find out about his gifts and his rocking chair reindeer and his many, many CDs. And I want to thank you very, very much. Even though we're in January, 11 months away from Christmas, when you're talking to Dr. Elmo, it's always a holiday. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being with us.
Dave, it was really a pleasure to be on with you.